are listening to today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we are off and running here on a fantastic Friday in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. We pray that you are having a marvelous, glorious, supercalifragilistic, expialidocious type of day, or whatever that saying is. I wrote the wrong date down here. Today is March the 10th. I had it as yesterday. Let's not go back and do that again. Let's have a great day today for the glory of God. So, hey, I'd like to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God. By the way, my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And we are at 165 North Grove Street. We've got a fantastic event coming up here in a couple of weeks, which is a Be a Blessing yard sale event that is going to take place inside our sanctuary. So you don't have to worry about whether it's raining or anything like that. It's going to be high and dry inside the church. It won't be too hot, won't be too cold. It'll be just right, Goldilocks. And we are putting on this event. We want to invite you to come. We are having our families from the church bring donations in on the 22nd, and we're going to be spending a couple of days putting that together on Saturday the 25th. We will be opening the doors at 8 o'clock, and it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time, and it's going to do a couple of things for us. It's going to give us more space at home. It's going to give us more space at church. And the third thing is it's going to be a blessing to those who are in need of those items. So that is coming up on the 25th. This coming Sunday, I will be preaching on Sunday morning, and we are looking forward to sharing the Word of God on that particular day. So if you do not have a church home, please consider coming to Merritt Assembly of God and worshiping with us as we pursue the heart of God, the face of God, and His will for this community. So we look forward to seeing you 10:30 of a morning on Sunday, 9:30 for Sunday school, and then we have our Bible study on Wednesday night. We are returning today to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We are going to begin reading at verse number 19. Well, we'll begin reading at verse number 18, I guess, and read on down to verse number 24. We've got some things that we want to share from this passage. We are working our way towards verse number 34, which in the NIV says, "And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affair. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband." So, verse number 18 says this: "Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave, do not be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called." So, Paul has already addressed the matters in verse number 18, and that was that the physical appearance that we have is not something that we need to necessarily be concerned about altering in order to please God. Okay. And so now he says, keeping the commandments of God is what matters. That's in verse number 19. It says, let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. We've talked about that a little bit. And then he goes into this dialogue because there were people who were in bondage. They were slaves, and there were people who were freed. Now, I want you to know that I believe that slavery is a stain on the history of humanity that should never be repeated. And I will say this, from what statisticians tell us, there are more people serving in bondage now than any time in human history. Human beings are not a commodity which is to be used for the advancement of another individual or another entity. Human beings were created in the image of God for the glory of God, and we need to respect the person that God created in his image. So I don't believe there's any place for slavery, and you know, if you've ever been involved in that, repent of it. I don't think there's that many people that have been involved in it personally. We have that in our history as a nation, and we need to repent of that, ask for forgiveness of that. And once that is done, we need to say, you know what, I'm so glad that God has a better purpose for me than what the devil's purpose is. Slavery in Corinth and in biblical times in general wasn't just about people who were conquered. Many of the slaves of that day, they did not have credit cards. They did not have mortgages or anything like that. And so much of the slavery was for a term. In the Old Testament, they would serve for a number of years, and then that seventh year they were to be released. Their debt had been paid. They were good to go. And so that was many times what was going on in ancient cultures, is people ended up serving other people because they did not have the economic means to support themselves. And so Paul writes to that, and he says, look, if you're in one condition, whether you're in bondage to another person, the borrower is servant to the lender, or whether or not you are free, you don't owe anybody anything. You know, there was a prophet in the Old Testament that died, and his wife sent a message to Elisha, I believe it was, and said, look, they're coming to take my sons away to remedy the debt that my husband had placed us in. And Elisha prayed, and God gave him the wisdom to tell the woman how to remedy the financial crisis that she was in. We talked earlier about the system of money versus the kingdom of God. You can't serve both. You need to be devoted to one, and hopefully you choose being devoted to God. Paul said that if you are in bondage and you can get liberated, use it for the glory of God. He says, if you can be made free, use it. But that is not necessarily the primary objective. Our objective is not social status. It's not economic status. I see people, and they know how to talk a religious lingo at times, but then if you watch them, you will find that they will have other words that come out of their mouth that are incongruent with the testimony of faith that they seem to be advocating for. I know that there are people out there who are trying to discard the biblical model of owe no man anything, and they're actually creating a system and propagating a system where you leverage everything you've got so that you can have a greater financial income. I'm going to stick with the Bible. I've been around the block enough times to realize that there are economic ups and there are economic downs, and being fully leveraged may be okay when you are in an economic upswing, but if you ever hit an economic downturn, it can be devastating to you. And so when Merit Assembly of God, when we first came there, there was indebtedness. It actually had to be resolved by the district. And then we found out we got to repay that money. And after several years, I think it was about 10 years, could be wrong on that. Might've been 9 years, 8 or 9 years. We became debt free. And we realized at that point in time that being debt free was better. There were no strings attached. You know, if you own a mortgage, they can mandate that you've got certain coverages, and then those coverages, the prices of those things, can become excessively burdensome. And so I pray that all of us get to walk in the freedom that God really wants us to walk in, but that's not the main thing. The main goal is, what is God going to accomplish through me in this time, in this place that he has positioned me in? So I recently read a story about a man who had been a very outspoken Christian. Don't know if he was a pastor or not. Don't remember that part of the story, but he was very evangelistic, and he was ministering and preaching Christ in a country that did not want him preaching Christ. And so they arrested him and they put him in jail. And while he was in jail, there was no one that he was able to preach the gospel to. And if you and I were in that position, we might be saying, well, God, really, the number one thing that we need is we need to be out of here. If we're going to minister effectively, God, we need you to get us out of jail so we can go back about. That wasn't the prayer that this man was praying. What was weighing upon his heart wasn't the fact that he was in jail. It was the fact that he didn't have anyone to be able to communicate the gospel to. And so he was actually remorseful, and he's like, God, I really need you to change my circumstances so that I can continue to preach the gospel. And so there was a decision made by those in charge of his incarceration, and they didn't decide to set him free. They decided to relocate him. They sent him to an island that had never had the gospel of Jesus Christ preached on it before. And he wrote back to the people who were concerned about him, and he said, praise God, God has answered my prayers. He has sent me to an island where no one has ever heard the gospel. I'm able to preach. I am able to see people's lives saved and transformed for the glory of God. And the state has paid for the travel and all of my living expenses. That's not a mindset we necessarily think of right off the top of our head when we are here in America. We are very much concerned about our standard of living, meeting our needs, and all of that sort of stuff. I want to declare to you, God is faithful. God will not leave you, not forsake you, and you and I can, in confidence, focus on the things that he has set before us to do. We don't have to be concerned about our outward appearance as much. We don't have to be concerned about the things that we possess as much. We don't have to be concerned about our social standing as much. We just need to focus on putting our hands to the plow and focusing on what God wants us to do. So he said, you were bought at a price. So he had just described how if you are in bondage to man, but you're a Christian, Christ has set you free. And if you are free, you need to realize that you are a bond servant to Jesus Christ. And he said, because you have been bought with a price. And the price that was paid for you and paid for me deems us not worthless, but priceless, because it was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You were not bought to be a slave. You have to go back to the book of Hosea in the Old Testament, in the Minor Prophets, right after the book of Daniel. Read about Gomer, who was Hosea's wife, and she had been trafficked, and she had been unfaithful to her husband, and now she was her looks were gone, her usefulness and her money making capabilities were no longer there. And Hosea went and bought his own wife back off of the auction block. And he said, you're not supposed to call me your master. He could have insisted on that. He had paid for her just the same as the other people had. But he said, call me your husband, because that's what I am. And so please do not think that you are nothing more than a tool to God. You are the object of his affection. You are the covenant relationship that he longs to have. Please understand, though, that his pursuit cost him a great price. And never forget that, you know, that Jesus was the one that was willing to go to those extents. The devil will not lift a finger on your behalf. He will do everything he can to oppose you, to reduce your life to misery. I've heard this term a number of times since I first started using it, and the people who use the term probably never heard me use it, so I doubt I was the first one. I don't think they were. But that is this. What does your misery index look like? What does your misery index look like? I was seeing a study not too long ago that said the more romantic partners that you have, the more sexual partners that you have, that the greater the likelihood that you will never have a fulfilling relationship of faithfulness. In other words, the greater that number becomes, the more miserable that you are going to become, because there's going to be this comparison that goes on. Now, are there going to be exceptions to the rule? Yes, thank God, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus can forgive. Jesus can transform. And he can provide what earthly behavior would never provide for you. I pray that your tolerance for misery would be extremely low, and that any time that you hit one of those experiences that begins to send your misery index rising, that you say, oh, no, 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 there is another option. I choose Jesus. He's the one that paid a price for me that no one else was willing to pay. If you and I were to look at it, we would say that Jesus probably overpaid, but he didn't, because he knows the work of the Father when he sees it. You are a masterpiece in process. I saw a thing a few weeks ago about where a patron was walking through this museum, and they knocked over an exhibit that I had never heard of before, but evidently it was supposed to be one of the prime pieces in this art exhibit, and it was shattered to pieces. Maybe that's what you feel like your life is. And, you know, a lot of times people would say, well, just sweep it up and send it back, you know, into the refinery, into the glass blaster, whatever, and see if you can make something else out of it. Jesus knows your worth. He says this in verse number 23, do not become slaves of men. Do not become slaves of men. And so I wrote this down. Jesus bought you as you are, but he bought you to make you what God created you to be. So there are some people that distort this principle that is talked about here, and they want to make it part of the reality that, well, I was created to lust after this segment of society, while others were created to have longings for this segment of society. And I want you to understand that you and I are not supposed to be content in the state of sin that we find ourselves in. Jesus redeems us from that to put us on the path of holiness. So because of the sin of Adam and Eve and the fall in the garden, everyone around you was born with a sin nature. Some of those people are born with pride. I had a four-year-old one time that I was serving, and her grandmother was there, and the little girl looked up there, and her dad was the manager of the store that I was working in, and she said, "You'd better treat me right or my daddy will fire you." And I said, "Oh, I'm going to treat you very well." And her grandmother was taken aback, and it's like, how could you speak to you know, this man that way, talking about me? And I didn't have to ask the question, because that's learned behavior. That is not that's not behavior you just grow up naturally having about yourself. There are some people that are born in pride. There are some people who are born with, I heard this, they weren't born with a gold spoon in their mouth. They weren't born with a silver spoon in their mouth. They were born with a plastic spoon in their mouth. I can tell you this, whatever status you are born into, allow God to liberate you from the sin that wants to control your life, so that you can be servants of righteousness. Let's remember the price that Jesus paid and said, Jesus paid to set me free. I'm not going back to bondage again. Don't become slaves to men. Here's what I found. The standard of men is constantly a shifting standard. And so if they say, well, you know, what we really want is for you to achieve this goal here, and when you achieve that goal, then you're really going to experience freedom like you've never had it before. That's not going to happen. And I just want to remind you, the Bible says that he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. The enemy's trap is always not about him feeding you, but him capturing you and reducing you to the purpose that he has for you. So I've had some experience with animals that are unwelcome in my house. We were in the country living one time, and I'm not a huge cat person, but after this, I became a cat person. If you're in that particular atmosphere, and that is, we discovered after a very intense pursuit that we had 32 mice that had taken up residence underneath our mobile home that we lived in. 32. And the way we discovered them was, I got up one night and I found one that had decided to come in. They didn't have a key. They hadn't paid their rent. And I found them in the kitchen. And I had a newborn baby at the time. And I said, okay, the war is on. The war is on. And I wanted to make sure that I removed not just the majority of them. I wanted all of them out of my house. And so we kept tally, 32. And so if you have ever had field mice that tried to come into your house, you know they're not there for good purposes. You know, what was it? The bubonic plague that broke out. They thought that it was the cats that were creating the problem. And so they got rid of all of the cats. And actually what it was the disease was being carried around by the rats. And when they got rid of the cats, the rats began to increase and the plague began to spread. And it was devastating on Europe. The devil has no purpose of letting you go free. The devil has no plans of letting you stay free. But Jesus does. Whatever you do, ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, to empower you to become the person God created you to be, but then also have the determination and the mindset that says, I'm not going to be a slave in this world anymore. Not a spiritual slave, not a sexual slave. I'm not going to be an intellectual slave. I'm not going to be a financial slave. I'm going to be a person that uses the freedom that Jesus has made available to me, and I'm going to use it to show other captives what Jesus can do for them. Maybe today you are in bondage, and it might be emotional or relational or financial, whatever it might be. I want you to know Jesus is your liberator. He's the one that can set you free. And I just want to pray this prayer with you today. Maybe you've been set free, but you keep going back. You've tried to break a bad habit. Maybe you're in bondage to a substance or something like that, and you keep going back. Today, I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you that it is the Son who sets us free. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so, God, I pray today that if there are people in spiritual bondage, that they would embrace Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and walk in the freedom that you have made for them. You said that you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. May freedom be theirs today. Lord, for those who have been liberated in the past, but Lord, they keep being drawn back into the same trap over and over again. Lord, I pray that you would set them free and keep them free by your grace. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Help me to be holy. Teach me what it is. Living out this daily, offering myself. Help me to be humble, teach me what it is. Looking to you daily, offering to you.